We have a lot of very proud pet owners in Connecticut. We look at our fur babies as part of the family. If you're like me, they're my children. I will oftentimes tell people I am a proud mother of five. It's just that only one of those five kids actually has two legs and doesn't have a tail. The rest are my fur babies, but I treat them like they are my own children. And I know for those of you listening and you have a dog or a cat at home, you feel the same way. Well, recently we got word about a warning to pet owners across Connecticut that missing dogs recently were being found with altered appearances than what they looked like in those missing dog flyers being put up around neighborhoods or even online, and we wanted to understand this a little bit more. I saw that the alert came from the Connecticut Dog Gone Recovery Volunteer Network, and I have to confess, I had never even heard of them before. So I was intrigued, and we spoke very briefly with Melanie Helke, who is a volunteer for this network, and I thought, let's get to know them a little bit more. Let's get the information out about the work that they do, and of course, also focus on this recent alert and what they're finding. So Melanie Helke is here now, joining WICC for the first time. And I'm so glad to be speaking with you this morning, Melanie. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
I'm so glad to have you here. As I mentioned, I've been a dog owner basically since I entered the world over 3 decades ago. So I'm very upset with myself. I have to confess that I had never even heard of this volunteer network. Tell me about the Connecticut Dog Gone Recovery Volunteer Network.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that haven't heard of us, which is amazing because we're all over Facebook. We're a volunteer base. We're all over the state of Connecticut. Excuse me. We have volunteers that are assigned to certain areas. And I do basically the New Haven County, the majority of the New Haven County. And we kind of like stay in our own area. So we have the ability to go out and to help the owners.
Okay, so that's
it's a lot of work.
I would think it is a lot of work, and I feel
it's a lot of work.
I don't feel a whole lot better, but I feel a little bit better. So you said you guys are really advertised on Facebook. I unfortunately I do not have Facebook, but do you guys have like
a
website?
Yeah, there's a lot of people that don't.
Okay,
so they get word of mouth. Like somebody will know about us, and if the person, like I just did a dog for 28 days, and 26. I'm sorry, and. They were not on Facebook, but they were told by an individual.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Tell me,
and
if you don't
everybody,
mind.
Every homeowner is the dog owners are so appreciative of everything that we do. It's amazing.
Of course,
that is our reward. Even though we don't get paid, that is our reward.
So, how long has the network been around? You said like for a decade or so, right, or longer than that?
You know what? I believe over 10 years.
Wow. And it's all volunteers?
All volunteers. We're all volunteers.
So how do you help dog owners find their missing pups? How do you do that?
So we start out with, you know, taking what is called a consult. We get all the information that we can about the dog. We create flyers, send over the flyer to the dog owners, get the approval on the first one with all the information on it. Then we create two more. I have instructions that I send out with mine, like where to post it, what to watch out for, because there's so many scams out there. There's a new one going around stating that this is a ACO so-and-so, which is animal control officer, and they're asking for money in order to find their dog, and that's a scam. It's just, it's unbelievable what people do out there.
Oh, it certainly is. But I could certainly tell you, Melanie, I would imagine how many dog owners over the years have been so grateful for your services. You hear
absolutely.
Much, right? I mean, you hear so much about how people rely on social media and so many other outlets to try and find their beloved pets. It's incredible that you have a network. And again, Melanie is a volunteer with the Connecticut Dog Gone Recovery Volunteer Network. And they are very, very heavily online where people have gotten to know them over the years. They do have a website, though, and we'll give you all the information as to where you can connect with them and give you more of that when we wrap up this interview. I wanted to ask, though, Melanie, so obviously you guys are sort of broken up into, it seems like, counties, but, I mean, rough estimate, how many volunteers make up your network?
We have about 40 volunteers, which not everybody goes out and does what the lead person does. They'll help with posters. They'll do different tasks. But the lead is the one that's the most involved in, you know, getting the dog home. I go out and help the owner as well put up posters if need be. The dog that I just did, they were from out of the town. They were an hour away. Their dog got lost by the pet sitter. So, you know, they were very stressed as it was. They were on vacation. Their dog went missing. He was missing for 26 days. It was heartbreaking for them, and my heart broke for them. Every time they came to search and went home empty-handed, it was like a piece of me left. Mm. It was just a horrible feeling. And it's really, really, really amazing how you can see a community come together when it has to do with an animal.
That's
it's
so
amazing.
True. Yeah.
It's amazing. This dog went through four towns. So I had four towns of people helping search and keep the word out. And the biggest key here is, and that people don't understand, you don't call the dog. You don't whistle. You don't clap. You do nothing, because then that drives them further away. You know, your first instinct is, it's my dog. I'll call it. It will come. Not when they're in survival mode. It doesn't happen.
Right. Right. They're not in a comfortable space, and they're in a survival mode, which is
correct.
You know, sort of dog recovery 101 when they go missing or they get out of the yard. And again, we're learning so much already from Melanie, who is a volunteer with the Connecticut Doggone Recovery Volunteer Network. If people wanted to become a volunteer, is it easy to do, Melanie? How do you do that?
Oh, absolutely it is. Right now, I'm not sure if they're taking any more volunteers or not. But definitely keep track of what's going on with us. You don't have to actually fill out the form to become a volunteer. If you wanted to help in your area, just let me know, let Doggone Recovery know that you would like to help, and we can get you involved. Normally what it takes is a few videos to watch at your leisure, just so you get the gist of what's going on and what you do and don't do. And we have to guide these owners, because they're desperate. They're going to do anything and everything to get their dog back. So we tell them, you know, what is the best way to try to get your dog back?
Mm-hmm.
So when you're volunteering, you need to know all these things, which is very, very important.
So I know Melanie had said they're all over Facebook, and we're talking about Connecticut Doggone Recovery Volunteer Network. But if you want their website, you want to learn more about the work that they're doing, you want to become a volunteer, help find a dog, view their open cases right now, any of that, you can go to their website, ctdgrv.org. which again stands for Connecticut Doggone Recovery. So ctdgrv.org, and we'll share that again in just a few minutes. In the meantime, we are talking to Melanie Helke, and she is a volunteer for the Connecticut Doggone Recovery Volunteer Network. Recently, we got word, Melanie, about a warning to pet parents that missing dogs were being found with altered appearances. Tell us about this.
It started, I think, Donna, one of our volunteers out, she does Waterbury area. One of her dogs was actually dyed, I think, red or pink. And that was a while ago. And recently, Donna also had a Frenchie that all the white of the fur was dyed black. I had a male Shih Tzu in New Haven. And he was brown. He was an eight-year-old. Brown and beige. He was completely, whole body dyed purple.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's insane. So
it is. What? And, you know, we don't know what kind of dye they're using. We don't know if this is harming the dog. We have no idea.
Well, I think what's weird, so when I heard about this story, Melanie, I actually had lunch later that day with my husband, and I told him about it, and he's like, why? What is the point? I said, I don't know. When I was reading the story originally from our partners at News 8, I don't know what the point would be. I wasn't sure if it's, you know, hey, we want to alter the appearances so that the dog is never found and we get to keep them. Is it to then resell the dogs and make money? I mean, do we have any idea why people would alter these dog's appearances?
Probably both of what you said, more than likely.
That's terrible.
More than likely. Yeah,
wow.
It is. It is.
So,
and you know what? Since the word has gotten out, we have not heard any more of this going on.
Really?
Well, it's been all over the news. I think in regards to Marcus, the New Haven one that I did, the owner was very proactive in getting all the flyers out. And I think somebody got very nervous and let him go.
That's interesting.
I mean, the word is definitely out. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we have not heard any more of this going on. So I think all you guys did a wonderful job about getting the word out. I just hope it's not going to happen again. And my thing to everybody that has an animal, just pay attention to where they are. I know mistakes happen, but if your dog is outside, you need to be outside with your dog.
Yeah,
Point blank.
And I think the other thing too, Melanie, is sometimes you'll hear about chipping the dog or even getting the little GPS trackers if you want to put it on their collar.
Oh, absolutely.
Which, you know, is certainly those are really effective as well. But I think you really hit the nail on the head there, which is, you know, when your dogs are in a fenced in yard, that doesn't mean that they're fully secure. I know even just in our yard, my fear is never that they're going to get out. It's what's going to get in. Like, I never know if,
yep,
you know, a raccoon or something else. So that's always been a fear. But then when you add, like you said, the idea that they could very well get out, even your dogs in the background agree with me on that one. You just got to be watching them.
Sorry about that.
Why? No, they're perfect. They're right on cue. I asked them to come on the show, and I'm so glad they got my inquiry. I was very glad about that. You know, we want to make sure everyone has their voices heard. So we do hear you in the background, and we're so glad about that, that you agree with this. But that's crazy. I'm curious, Melanie, and I don't want to put, you know, I don't want to say assumptions out there, but do you think that there could be past cases where you had a dog missing for several months? Now the owner thinks, well, was my dog's appearance altered and that's why we never found them?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That could be. We had another one. It was Melissa, and she had one in Bridgeport. It was a white, beigey kind of dog, long-haired. I'm not sure what breed it was. Shaved to the skin. That dog did not even look like the same dog.
So, I remember that story.
Just shaving the dog is going to change the appearance.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And those poor dogs.
And my neighbor says to me, well, you're lucky you've got a fenced-in backyard. And I said, why do you say that? He said, because a coyote can't get in. I said, what do you mean a coyote can't get in? They can jump in a 10-foot fence.
Right.
They can climb. They'll get in. If they wanted to get in, they will get in.
Mm-hmm. And don't ever underestimate your dogs. Let me tell you, we have an Australian cattle dog mix. And when we were living in Vermont, he was a puppy. He was little. But we had a 6-foot fence around our property. And one of the times he got out because he saw an animal. And boy, he took a running start. I have no idea how he did, but he jumped that fence. And so our fence now is just shy of about 10, I want to say 10 feet.
Yeah.
But still, I don't trust it.
I have no idea.
Right? I mean, if they're going to find a way, they're going to find a way. So whether something's
coming in. I have actually seen dogs climb.
Oh, sure.
Climb a fence.
Sure.
A chain link fence, climb it.
Yeah. Listen, they're totally capable. I mean, I don't, and you just, and like you said, whether it's something coming in or something getting out, you just never know. So, you know, obviously keeping an eye on them. And that's the other thing too is, you know, we talk about animals, but it's so funny because I've had this conversation with family members before who might leave their dogs in the backyard, little dogs in the backyard, just very fenced in. And I think, okay, so maybe an animal won't get them, but it ain't that hard for, what about if somebody pulls over and opens gate, right? I think to myself, what about if someone just walks into your yard? Talk about predator. I mean, what would stop somebody from walking into your yard and taking
Nothing.
Your dog? Exactly.
The other thing I suggest too to homeowners is when you have somebody come work on your house or your yard or whatever, and you do have a fenced in yard, don't assume that they close that gate.
Yes. Yes.
Get that gate first.
Correct.
Before you let your dog out.
It's a great, great point, Melanie. Great
yeah,
point.
We've
oh,
had,
my goodness.
We've had a lot.
I can imagine. I can imagine, yep. Right? Because you know how your house functions, but they may not know that, hey, that door, just you got to slam it for it to totally shut or whatever the case may be. That's such a great, great, great point.
And again, yeah, because I had a guy come do my lawn, and thank God I checked because he did. He left the gate open.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we've had it happen too. And look, they've got a million things going on, and they'll keep the door, you know, like we have ours wedged open when we have the landscapers come out, and sometimes they're in a rush. They got to get to the next thing and they leave.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
So I get it. It happens. So it's definitely something to keep an eye out for. And I want to remind folks again, if you want to learn more about the Connecticut Dog Gone Recovery Volunteer Network, you want to work with them, you want to volunteer, maybe you want to keep their information handy if, God forbid, you do have your dog go missing. Their website is ctdgrv.org. You can also find them on social media like Facebook. And Melanie, I want to thank you so much for taking the time
WICC. You're quite welcome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Getting the word out on people to pay more attention to their dogs. We have a lot of information on our site too, like what to do if your dog goes missing. We have a lot of information, calming signals, what do calming signals mean. A lot of people will say, well, my dog knows me. It will come to me. Well, that's not necessarily true. You can go on to our website and you can see the latest one of Knox, who was missing for 26 days that I did, and his video. And it clearly shows mom and dad. Well, dad was there. He did not know him.
Mm. You
it
know,
took
actually,
him a while to snap out of it.
Melanie, this might be a really great follow-up segment at some point if you wanted to come back on the show, talking about a response to missing dog cases, how to act appropriately, sort of like, you know, retrieving dogs 101 and kind of talking about that. I think that'd be really great information to share on the
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I think that's a very, very important thing because, again, like I said before, owners are like, it's my dog. He knows me. I'll call him. Well, it might work, and guess what? It might not.
Yeah, it's a great point. So, Melanie, I would love to rebook you to come back on the show very soon.
Absolutely.
You can. Great. I'm going to put you on hold, Eric. If you don't mind handling that, that would be great, and we will have you come back on the show. Such great information we'd love to share, and we have a lot of dog lovers here listening to WICC. So, again, it's the Connecticut Dog Gone Recovery Volunteer Network. Their website is ctdgrv.org for more information. And we, again, thank Melanie Helke, who is a volunteer for the network. Not only for the work that she does, but for sharing such great information here on WICC.